William Croft's Hymn of Divine Music, sung by Robert Crowe in a recital he gave with the harpsichordist Michael Ebert at the Convent of Merciful Brothers in Brno in the Czech Republic in March last year. And that brings tonight's edition of Radio 3 in Concert to a close. I'll be back with more performances from around Europe at the same time next Sunday. Have a good week in the meantime. From me, a very good night.
And that was Ian Skelly. Well, it's all glitz and glamour for tomorrow night's Radio 3 in Concert. It comes live from the Royal Festival Hall, a star-studded gala concert celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Olivier Awards. Keith Lockhart conducts the BBC Concert Orchestra, and they're joined by, among others, Maria Friedman, Elaine Page and Michael Ball to showcase the very best of musical theatre. Sarah Moore-Peach will be guiding us through it all. The curtain goes up at the usual time tomorrow, 7:30.
When you think of folk music, what do you hear? This? Or this? Or how about this? Next weekend, join Radio 3 to discover all that and more as we celebrate the world of folk music. Discover Folk Connections with special guests, features, and of course, plenty of live music. We'll be going back to its roots, from the earliest song collectors to folk-inspired composers, right up to the most exciting new performers. Folk Connections, next weekend on BBC Radio 3 and online at the Radio 3 website.
Well, back now to this weekend on Radio 3. It's just after 9 o'clock. And as the BBC continues to mark the centenary of the First World War, tonight's drama on 3 is a dramatisation of one of the most significant European novels written on this theme. August 1914 by Alexander Solzhenitsyn was first published in the West in 1971. It's an ambitious, fictionalised account of the first month of the war from the Russian perspective. The Russian Second Army was disastrously underprepared and ill-equipped as it advanced into eastern Prussia. As a result, within a matter of days, it came close to total annihilation at the hands of the superior German war machine. The Russian military effort never recovered from this defeat, and it added to the impetus leading to the Communist Revolution of 1917. The novel has several strands, including chapters about Lenin, which were omitted from the first edition, and tonight's production focuses on the experiences of the fictional colonel Vorotintsev and the historical general Samsonov. The novel was intended as the first volume of a series to be called The Red Wheel, and was finally republished in its entirety in 1983. August 1914 is dramatised by Robin Brooks from the translation by H.T. Willits, and the narrator is Fiona Shaw. August 1914 by Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Southern Poland. The middle of August 1914. Lenin walks along the station platform. He has just been released by the Austrian authorities.
I knew that an imperialist war would break out.
He buys a newspaper and walks down the platform, glancing at the columns.
Coconut fiber hammocks, attempt on the life of Grigory Rasputin. Why be fat any longer? An ideal anatomical girdle. War or peace? This morning, the talk everywhere is of peace.
He walks as far as the engine.
In principle, I knew it would be war, but not at this precise moment.
The engine has a big red wheel, the height of a man.
Because, however wary you are, the abominable tranquility of a petty bourgeois existence will lull your vigilance. In the shadow of something big, you lean against a massive iron wall without looking at it carefully. And suddenly it moves. This wall turns out to be a big red engine wheel driven by a long, naked piston rod. It catches you. Your spine is twisted and you're flung down, your head banging against the rails, and you realize too late that some stupid danger has taken you unawares.
On the same day, at his headquarters just south of the Prussian border, Army Commander General Samsonov is suffering from a continuous buzzing in his head. It makes it difficult for him to think.
Sir.
There is no narrowing of his eyes, no hunted look. But inside, there is a dizzy feeling that the ground is sliding from under him.
Sir!
What? What's the matter?
A colonel has arrived from GHQ with a letter from the Grand Duke. Colonel Vorotintsev.
He has had no time to think his thoughts through, to let them ripen.
What does the letter say?
I haven't read it. I wasn't sure how to deal with him.
You should have read it.
Sir.
I'll see the colonel.
A week ago, when the most hazardous and exciting manoeuvres began, when the Russian Second Army started its headlong advance into East Prussia, Colonel Vorotintsev, an enterprising staff officer, was stuck way back at GHQ, and he felt he might burst with frustration. So he had the brilliant idea of sending himself to report on the situation.
General Samsonov, sir.
Yes, Colonel.
I have a letter for your excellency.
What's it about?
The Grand Duke is disturbed by the shortage of information on the movements of your army. GHQ desires to understand more about the course of military operations, sir.
What would you like to know, Colonel? Here's the map.
The map is a big one. It takes up the whole wall.
Zelensky believes the enemy is on our right. I think they're to the left. Therefore, I have been forced to advance in both directions.
At waist level is a large bright flag marking Samsonov's HQ, just south of the Prussian border. At eye level are the coloured flags of his Russian corps, marching north into enemy territory, the arrows of their progress like the spread fingers of a hand.
So our forces are fanning out, sir?
I don't like it either, Colonel.
How far have you moved since deployment?
80, 90 miles.
On foot?
On foot. Sandy going, not many roads.
Rest days?
They won't allow us any. Keep asking. What I need more than anything is to stop and take a breather, but we mustn't let them give us the slip.
A red silk thread purports to show where the front line runs. Colonel Vorotintsev makes his two fingers into a pair of compasses and measures off the distance between the flag, marking the headquarters in which they are standing, and the front line. It is a long way. Samsonov takes the point and blushes.
It's easier to keep the supply columns rolling from here. Besides, I got orders from GHQ not to move without permission. It's no good arguing with them.
Above the red front line, there are blue lakes and green forests. But for the enemy, no little flags. No sign at all.
So, Your Excellency, where are the Germans?
There are conflicting reports.
What does your reconnaissance suggest?
There are no cavalry divisions available for reconnaissance.
How do you maintain contact with the front, sir?
Mounted couriers. The fighting at all hours started yesterday, and I didn't know till today.
Fighting?
Yes, and where do you think? To the left, here. General Martas gave battle. Force them back, the left. Just as I thought.
Then you have located the enemy?
Yes, he won't get away now. But what's he up to?
You must advance on the left and find out, surely.
I could send Artemonov's corps, but they're part of the reserve. GHQ won't let me have them.
No, sir, you're wrong. The Grand Duke signed the order authorising you to enlist their services.
What? When was this?
The day before yesterday. I was there. I saw it.
But that's wonderful news that you've brought me an army corps in your pocket, my dear fellow.
Sir, if you draft an order for Artemonov, I can take it myself, sir.
Yes. But aren't you going back to GHQ?
I've got a lieutenant with me. I can send him back with the report.
Quite right. You can help me get my hands on Artemonov's corps. Filimonov!
Sir!
Give the colonel what he needs. Colonel
Vorotintsev, sir. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move. I will move up to Neidenberg.
Yes, sir. If you think that's right, sir.
Have you a liaison officer with First Corps?
Colonel Krimov. He has our other motor car. Hmm.
So are you in contact with General Artemonov?
We can't telegraph, Colonel. The lines are down. But there is the wireless.
What cipher do you use?
We don't use ciphers. The operators aren't trained for it.
You send everything uncoded?
We don't send many wireless messages. How will you get to General Artemonov? You best go by train.
Give me a good horse, and I'll ride there.
You'll get no sleep.
I can see the ground. If I go by train, I'll be none the wiser.
The brisk motion of his horse through the warm, dark stillness wakens in Colonel Vorotintsev that joyous, carefree feeling familiar to all officers who live only for war.
The extreme left flank. That is the source of the greatest anxiety. That is the place for me. I must solve the riddle. Where is the enemy? What are they up to?
Far away north, beyond the stallion's head, he imagines dozens of staff officers like himself.
Except that they are all Germans, riding through the night in fast motor cars, keeping in touch by telegraph, sharing data from aerial reconnaissance with responsive and intelligent generals taking rational decisions, whereas we...
But he doesn't feel downcast. He feels buoyant and light-hearted.
I don't miss my wife. I don't miss her. When we first lived together on Kostroma Street, we were so happy. But no children. And now, she says, she wants more colour in her life. She can't keep up with my ideas. She's not interested. And when I don't answer her questions, she sulks. And I'm indifferent to her. I don't kiss her on the lips anymore. Bed is tiresome. I'm like an old man. I'm not 40 yet. Love coarsens. It's inevitable. Every marriage grows stale. But now there's a war. These are the greatest days of my life.
Then he remembers the uncoded wireless messages.
Uncoded? How could they do such a thing?
Food prices up. Sale of spirituous liquors prohibited in St. Petersburg.
Shustov's incomparable Rowanberry liqueur.
Arise, great Russian people. We are ready for any sacrifice to preserve the honor and dignity of the indivisible Russian state.
Military censorship comes into force in St. Petersburg as from 7 p.m.
To those departing, go, dear ones, go, shed never a tear. Go, dear ones, go, and have no fear. For those you leave behind you...
God will punish the aggressors.
Uncle Kostya cigarettes. 10 for 6 kopecks.
When, just a few weeks ago, Second Lieutenant Yaroslav Haritonov put on his epaulets with the rest of his class, he wasn't even allowed time to go home and say goodbye.
I had to report to my unit immediately.
There are 40 men in his platoon.
I'm 19. I'm just a cadet and I have to pretend to act as father to these bearded peasants.
When are we going to get fresh baked bread, Your Honour?
Oh, any day now.
2 weeks on hard tack. It rips up your guts, Your Honour.
Halt! Halt! Halt!
What now?
We'll know soon enough.
Yaroslav is excited and scared, but he stays cheerful, even when his men are whining.
We hear gunfire, they march us towards the guns. The firing stops, they march us back again. Our feet are burning. There's no water. The cannons get stuck in the sand and we have to push them back out.
Why did you join the army if you hate it so much?
Good question, sir.
Instead of cursing the war, we should be putting our energy into winning it.
About turn!
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Come on, men. Off we go again.
Yes, Your Honour. The top brass don't know what they're doing. Not a German to be seen. Just us marching up and down this godforsaken road.
It'll be better tomorrow.
On the left flank, There have been some fierce clashes now. The Prussians have abandoned the town of Neidenburg. A house on the main square is burning. A platoon of soldiers is working a chain of buckets. Ensign Sasha Lenartovich is sitting in the shade on the front steps of the hospital, watching them. A doctor comes out, looking dazed, and sits near him.
You look like you need a rest.
Been operating all night.
Many wounded?
You wouldn't believe it. Germans as well as ours. The fighting was pretty rough.
Can't you get some sleep?
Got to unwind first.
Stressful stuff.
The Germans send their wounded back by motor ambulance. We've got a couple of covered wagons.
So, what if the situation changes?
If we have to withdraw? We couldn't. We couldn't evacuate. We'd fall into German hands.
The worse, the better.
What?
The worse things are in this war, and the worse things are for Russia, the better.
What are you talking about? Let the wounded suffer. Let them die.
You have to look at the whole picture. Let the sufferings of the wounded be added to the sufferings of the workers and the peasants. It brings the end so much nearer.
And the more of them die, the nearer we are to liberation.
The worse, the better.
Wait until you're brought in tomorrow with a smashed shoulder. How'd you get called up?
I was doing my military service. I took the exam for ensign's rank in the reserve, and that was it. I'm a graduate of St. Petersburg University.
What'd you study?
Law.
I'm Fedonin.
Lenartovich. Sasha Lenartovich.
Lenartovich, I know that name.
My uncle was well known in revolutionary circles.
Oh, yes, he was...
Executed.
Of course.
Doctor?
Nurse Tanya, what is it?
The patient with a broken jaw, can you come?
I suppose.
That nurse, she didn't even glance at me. Looking so pure, so severe. Those headdresses are just playwear for the privileged and opium for the common soldier.
Who's in charge here? Ensign?
Yes, yes, sir.
But you think this is a Christmas bazaar? HQ is moving in here. General Samsonov is on his way. Get those fires out!
War diary. Most important news. Advance on a broad front into East Prussia. There is thick forest everywhere, but broad paths run through it. It prevents no obstacle to cavalry or infantry. The whole of East Prussia is now under our control.
Military censorship comes into force in St. Petersburg as from 7 p.m.
Racing today?
Food prices up.
Bulletproof vests now available.
No newspapers have appeared in Moscow. One day's strike of compositors.
Any lady can have the ideal bust. Marber pills, strictly reliable.
It takes Colonel Vorotintsev a day and a night to reach Soldau, over on the left flank. He rides into town on the early morning of the 13th of August. By a small house with iron railings and a little fountain in its front garden, he catches sight of a motor car.
Whoa, whoa!
Doesn't look much like HQ.
He hitches his horse to a tree beside the car and goes into the garden. Sitting on a stone bench beside the fountain is an elderly officer, unshaven with untidy hair, smoking a crooked cigarette of his own making.
Is Colonel Krimov staying here?
Mm.
Are you Krimov?
Yes.
Colonel Vorotintsev. I've come from General Samsonov.
I knew you had.
How?
I know that stallion. Rode him last week. How'd you get him here?
I didn't. He got me here.
All the way from Ostrolenka. Why not by train?
How can you get an idea of the ground from a train?
Hmm. Cigarette.
I've given it up.
You can't get through a war without tobacco. Yesterday.
3 years ago.
I mean when you left Ostrolenka.
Day before yesterday, in the evening.
Is Samsonov getting my report?
He didn't say.
I've written three. I'm working on a fourth. Got back in the middle of the night.
Oh, from where?
Stempel's cavalry division.
What are they doing?
Eating grass.
Why is all the cavalry on the flanks? In the centre, we're advancing blindly with no reconnaissance.
Oh, who knows? Come and have some breakfast. Yevstafi!
Yes, Your Honour?
Yevstafi puts a bottle of vodka on the table.
I won't. Not this morning.
Hmm? An officer must be brave in the face of the enemy, in the face of his superiors, and in the face of vodka. If he isn't, he's no officer.
I've brought written orders from Samsonov. First Corps is transferred to Artamonov's command.
Oh, our Artamonov takes no notice of orders. He stands about like a dummy in a shop, waiting till the war ends and the prizes are given out.
If he fights shy, I can get on the phone to GHQ. But you're still advancing.
Stempel took Uzdal, so Artamonov had to move up. He pretended that there was a German division stationed here so he wouldn't have to attack. But the Germans abandoned this place without a fight. Artamonov's a damned liar. Mm.
Have you seen General Kondratovich?
He's in the rear and happy about it. He's a damned coward.
Mm. What do you think of General Blagoveshchensky?
A sack of wet shit. And Kliuev is a nincompoop.
Well, there are no heroes at GHQ either. Why do the cavalry have to cling to the infantry's skirts?
Don't talk about my cavalry. Are they expected to charge stone buildings and armoured cars? You sure you won't?
All right.
Here's to the cavalry.
The cavalry. What about our artillery?
Oh, the artillery.
We were the first to realise that the next war would be decided by firepower.
Of course. We learned that during the Japanese affair. Heavy artillery, lots of howitzers.
But it was the Germans who acted. We have 100 or so guns to a corps. They have half as much again.
And far better. We won victory and glory without having to pay for it. Here's to the artillery.
The artillery. I saw some looting on the way in.
A few executions put a stop to that.
I couldn't shoot a Russian soldier. For what? Because he is poor and we have brought him into a rich country. Because he is hungry and we don't feed him for a week at a time.
Poor bloody infantry. The Russian soldier. You don't just have to kill him, you have to knock him down too.
To the Russian soldier.
The Russian soldier.
Listen.
To the north. How far do you think?
7-8 miles. The air is heating up. That muffles it.
That's a lot of guns.
Then it can't be Artamonov, can it?
No. It's the Germans.
Are they moving up? Have they shown themselves? Which divisions?
If only we knew.
I'd better find Artamonov.
48 hours after he sent Colonel Vorotintsev on his mission, General Samsonov arrives in Neidenburg. Night is falling. General Samsonov had hoped that the drive would bring him clarity. But there is still a vagueness in his head, like a patch of undisturbed fog.
Are the fires under control?
Yes. Mm. The building is ready, sir. It's quite a comfortable little hotel. There's a telegraph and supper.
Listen. Guns? It's a serious engagement.
Where?
Somewhere on the left.
General Artamonov has asked to speak to you via the teleprinter.
Ah.
General Artamonov greets General Samsonov. General Artamonov informs you, following the advice of Colonel Vorotintsev, he has entered into telegraphic discussion with GHQ concerning the extent to which his corps is subordinate to your command. The Supreme Commander's decision is not yet known.
Not yet known. Order request he remain north of Soldan, secure the left flank.
Positions beyond Uzdal are being taken and held.
Uzdal, yes.
Hmm? Substantial forces attacked the corps today.
How substantial? What was the outcome? Oh, come on, come on.
All attacks have been beaten off. All units valiantly stood their ground. Enemy forces estimated 3 divisions.
3 divisions? Where are they sprung from?
Or perhaps he's exaggerating. He's inclined to panic.
But tell him to hold on, not to withdraw an inch.
General Artamonov guarantees that his corps will not flinch and will not retreat one single step.
General Artamonov drives along the dark road, headlights blazing. How irksome this all is for him.
The war itself which is an interruption to my career.
The deployment of his corps dangerously far to the left.
And now being made to move still further.
And now reports of the enemy's strength.
Three divisions. Where have they sprung from? What are they doing on my front?
How to penetrate the riddle.
How to protect myself.
The impossibility of guessing what the enemy intends to do keeps him dashing about.
I am inspecting and encouraging my troops.
But in a totally perplexed and demoralized state.
And the attack comes just as this spy from GHQ arrives, this Colonel Vorotintsev. He insists on tagging along, and every question he asks is a malicious attempt to catch me out.
This is the front line.
Yes. Stop the car.
Sir.
I wish to review this brigade.
Coming, Colonel.
Yes, sir. They're bound to renew the attack.
Yes, Colonel.
So, what is your plan for tomorrow?
Plan? How dare he? Plan is not a Russian word. The only possible plan is to pull my whole corps out of this tight corner safely and in such a way that I get a medal and not a kicking. But I'm not going to say that to him.
Your left flank can still maneuver freely with its cavalry division. You can outflank them. You've still got time to realign.
Who is this colonel? He must have some powerful connections.
How many rounds per gun? What sort of link-up between the infantry and the artillery?
He is giving me a headache.
Attention! What do you say then, lads? Are we going to beat them?
Yes, sir!
Everything is all right then?
Yes, sir!
Your regiment once took Berlin. That's why you have the silver bugles on your insignia. Are you all wearing crosses?
Of course.
We all are, sir.
The Germans may attack tomorrow. So pray to the Mother of God while you can.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
This General Artemonov. I can't do anything with him. He would have made a good NCO. Keen, quick on his feet. But an infantry general? There's no point staying with him. This is the key spot. What happens here will be decisive.
Colonel? Colonel Vorotintsev? I'm moving on.
I'll stay here, sir. I'd like to talk to the brigade commander.
Very good.
Is there a lookout on the windmill?
There was. I ordered him down, Colonel. Too good a target.
Your flank beyond the railway
line. I know. It's a gaping hole. I've put the machine guns there. There's not a lot more I can do. When did you last sleep?
The night before. No, not for a while.
Take a bed in the farmhouse. You might as well. I think they'd be at us in the morning.
Thank you. I will.
The bed receives Colonel Vorotintsev as though it has been waiting for him. As he falls asleep, his sense of frustration and helplessness melts away. He is somewhere else. Another room.
Where is the light coming from?
It illuminates the only spot he is meant to see.
Her face. Her breast.
He recognizes her at once, though he has never seen her before in his life.
The girl for me. The inexpressibly dear one.
Darling.
There is the bed.
Yes. Turn back the covers.
I can't.
Why not?
There's a nightdress on the pillow.
Who does it belong to?
To my wife.
Your wife?
Morning, sir. I've started.
Yes. 3-inch.
That one's bigger.
6-inch.
Bowl of cashew, sir.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Vorotintsev makes for the trenches.
That was a close one, sir.
He finds himself sheltering with the men General Artemonov reviewed the night before.
Good deep trench.
Yes, sir.
On the lip of the trench, is a stuffed toy lion.
Do you like our mascot, Your Honor?
What kind of beast exactly is it, Your Honor?
A lion. Where did you get it?
Going through the town. It was just...
Why aren't our lot answering back? Don't want to give away their positions. Slackening off. Yeah. For now, they're switching sectors. You have a good ear. You should be in the artillery.
Well, I'd like that, Your Honour.
What's your name?
I say me, Your Honour.
Oh, a lion sticking his neck out.
We've got a scratch on him.
Hold on, lads. They're going to make it hot for us now.
Pray! Pray to God! Threshing floor! With a grain on a threshing floor!
Yes!
How long can they keep a barrage like this going for? I should look at my watch. Can't open my eyes. Open!
He opens his eyes. Arseny is a few feet away. They are both pressing themselves into the wall of the trench.
Wink at him. He's grinning. Good man. How can we match this? They have so many guns. There was nothing like this in Japan. I wasn't married then. No one can survive this. She'll cry a bit and marry again. How long will they keep it up for? The windmill has caught fire.
He can see it over the rim of the trench.
The whole world is collapsing in ruins.
The mill has been hit, but not destroyed. Set alight.
Tongues of flame licking up from its base.
They light up the hillside.
The fire races over the lower blades to the hub, then runs up both ways to the tips.
The whole mill is ablaze.
All of it.
The cladding has gone. The skeleton glows brighter and brighter.
The ribs, the sails, all on fire.
The sails are beginning to turn.
Slowly, in the heat of the fire.
The red gold spokes revolve.
Like a Catherine wheel.
It is collapsing.
Falling to pieces.
Disintegrating into fiery fragments.
A red wheel.
That was so much worse than yesterday.
Look at the smoke over there. They got it hotter than us.
Stand to! Everyone!
Stand to!
Look to your rifles. They'll be coming now.
Sir.
There they are.
Look at them. Who fights like that? In lines. And they've left it too late. They should have crept up close and been on us as soon as it lifted.
They made us grovel. Now it's their turn.
Fire!
The Germans come on slowly. Too slowly. Pausing to fire. They go down in rows. The Germans falter, turn and run.
Yes! Yes, we can hold them!
Running like hares!
We help! Well done! Well done, men!
Wounded men are crawling in the trench. One sits on the ground, takes his boot off, and pours blood from it like a jug. Another lies staring, with lifeless eyes.
What's your name? Arseny.
Yes, Colonel.
Want to come with me? Join me. I need an orderly.
All right, Your Honor.
We can win this battle if we keep our heads. Come on, then.
Where are we going, Your Honor?
There are regiments in reserve back there. They need to move. We can't simply stand our ground. There's a rifle brigade somewhere. I need to find it.
Rifle brigade? What kind of soldiers are they, Your Honor?
Infantry, crack troops, more machine guns, stiffer training. The whole situation could be transformed. It just needs someone to rally the forces. And don't keep saying Your Honor. Just waste time.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, sir.
Rifleman?
Sir?
Where's your regimental commander?
Gone looking for orders.
Battalion commander?
Here, Colonel.
Do you have an assignment?
Keep moving northwest, that's all.
The line is holding. If you can move, we can exploit it.
Where?
I'll show you.
Yeah, well, I've got no brigade staff. I've got no artillery.
My colonel means business. Good for him. If I had shorter legs, I'd have to run to keep up. Glad to be out of that trench. Too many dead men. One big grave. This is better. I'm starving. Got a hunk of bread somewhere. Why am I so hungry? I haven't been ploughing or mowing. Just eating dirt.
Of course, and we'll concentrate all four regiments. Send someone to look for Colonel Primoff and ask him to bring his cavalry formations over at once. He may be on the way already.
Concentration area.
On this farmhouse?
Very good. I'll see to it.
Would you like a bit of bread, Your Honor? I mean... Bit of bread?
It's only 9 o'clock.
Is it?
We should keep it for midday.
Might be dead by then.
Fair point. Thank you. Are you married, Arseny? Are you married?
Last Shroff Tate.
Oh. Less than a year. What's she called?
Yekaterina. She's a little thing. When we started courting, they laughed at us. They said, why couldn't I find a big, strong girl with some work in her? They said I'd crush her. But she's a good wife. She's sweet. Like the marrow from a bone.
Here are the riflemen. Right then, we're off. Can you ride a horse?
Nothing to it. We're all horsemen in Tarmov. They're start fast.
Come on. We've got to keep up with the riflemen. We ought to find some horses.
The Petrov regiment is going into attack.
They've got orders?
No. On their own initiative?
That's the stuff. The rifles will back them up. Let's go.
Sir, the riflemen are over there.
I know. We've got to get round them. Get to the Petrov regiment. Link up. Let them know we're here.
Hey, that's our lot!
Pitching short, silly sods.
Your Honor, you were right?
Bit of a scratch. Shoulder. Doesn't hurt yet.
Want a bandage?
No. No. Let's get on. Lieutenant.
Sir?
What's your situation?
We're flattening them. But we've got nothing left to shoot with.
Reinforcements are coming.
Why don't they bring us some cartridges?
You're doing an excellent job. Now, get that scene to.
Yes.
Give him a bandage, Arseny.
Sir.
Colonel! Colonel!
Yes.
Orders, sir.
Oh, fine.
Orders to withdraw.
No.
Everybody!
No. No.
The Lieutenant Colonel got the message at the farmhouse. Withdraw.
Use that word again and I'll shoot you.
Shoot me if you like, Your Honor. But they telephoned the Corps Commander, General Artemonov.
Artemonov. Arseny.
Sir.
I need to see him. Give me a lift up into that tree.
What about your shoulder?
Give me a boost and I'll hang on.
Vorotintsev climbs up, hangs on with his good hand and focuses his field glasses with the other. He can see the familiar hillside below the burnt-out mill and the trenches where he sheltered.
There it is. Oh, no.
Nearer, Russian troops falling back. And advancing, unopposed, in open order, German infantry.
That's it. The battle's lost. Artemonov. I'll punch his stupid, arrogant face. Just let me get back there.
Being nearer to the front in Neidenberg for a day has brought General Samsonov no peace of mind.
I can't concentrate.
He is uneasily aware of things happening out of sight and out of reach, over a vast, sprawling area of sands and forests and lakes. But information is vague.
I should go and see for myself, but if I go off in one direction and then somewhere else, something happens and I'm not here to deal with it.
So he passes his time in suspense, deprived of reliable information.
War is dismal these days. An army commander is just a rag doll. If you can see the battlefield, you can gallop over to a faint-hearted commander. But now the wirelesses can't find each other. The flying machines either can't take off or never come back, and I've only got one motor car.
Message from Artemonov, sir.
Yes?
Attacked by a large enemy force at Uzdal this morning. All attacks repelled. Standing as firm as a rock. We'll carry out orders in full.
Splendid. That's it. I've not been fair to Artemonov. Wrote him off as a fool. Firm as a rock,
sir.
See if you can get me Colonel Varintensev by telephone. I should like details.
Sir?
Firm as a rock. Let's look at the map. So obviously, Central Corps must accelerate their swing to the left here.
Yes, sir?
Artemonov's corps will be the axis on which the whole army can turn. That's it. That's better. Draft the orders.
Sir?
I think I'll take a walk, get some fresh air.
General Samsonov walks out into the square and finds himself standing beneath a statue of Bismarck. There is still a patch of fog in his mind. He has the feeling that somehow he is doing the wrong thing.
I'd like to gallop, draw my sword and gallop to the front. I know that would not be the right thing. Unbecoming. Then what should I be doing?
Stop! Where do you think you're going? Stop, you men! Halt right there! Where have you come from? Where are your officers?
Filimonov! What is it?
Men of the Estland Regiment, sir.
Yes, what are they doing here?
They've broken ranks.
Broken ranks? Let me see.
Attention! Stand to attention when the general addresses you! Stand up straight, you swine!
It's all right, Filimonov, I'll speak to them. So, men, tell me, what's happened?
We were shelled, Your Excellency. We didn't have any guns, so we attacked.
We went through their trenches.
We used up all our cartridges.
They got around behind us.
They wiped us out.
How many of the regiment?
Half, Your Excellency. We haven't had any bread for 3 days.
No bread?
No bread.
Filimonov, get these men something to eat.
Message from Colonel Varintsev.
Sir, message from Colonel Varintsev.
Yes.
Our counterattack has not been followed up. Artemonov has ordered a retreat. This is being kept from you. Uzdal has surrendered.
Artemonov, that coward, liar.
I'm relieving him of his command. General Lushkovich will take his place. Inform Army Group HQ.
Sir, sit down, please.
Sorry.
I'm all right.
If the Second Army is the spread fingers of a hand, Lieutenant Yaroslav Haritonov is on the tip of the middle finger, pushed far north into Prussia. Lieutenant Yaroslav's regiment, having been rushed backwards and forwards the day before, has now been sent in to take the town of Hohenstein. But this town is also deserted. Are the Prussians giving up without a fight? Or is the Second Army walking into a gigantic trap?
No soldiers, no civilians, not even a dog. As though it's enchanted.
Sir?
Yes?
Permission to fall out, sir, and look for something by the way of provisions?
I don't know.
Everyone else is, sir.
Are they?
Well,
I say.
Sir?
That looks like a barracks over there.
Yes, sir.
I might have a poke about.
What for, sir?
Maps.
Yes, sir.
In the deserted barracks, Yaroslav finds a pile of maps of East Prussia. Much better than his own. But by the time he has bundled them up and hurried out to rejoin his command, the atmosphere in the town has changed.
Surely my platoon hasn't...
Permission to... Excellency, permission to...
Kramchatkin, what's come over you? Are you drunk?
No. Oh, no.
Sir,
Come and sit by the fire.
Have you been drinking?
Not as much as him.
Come and sit with us, Your Honour. Have a drink of cocoa.
Is this stolen?
It's what the krauts keep up their courage with. Try it. Go on, sir.
Thank you.
Thick black smoke pours from the roofs. Pink tongues of fire lick up. But no one runs to put them out.
This is the end. There's no going back. Life will never be the same now.
The buzzing in General Samsonov's head keeps up all day. And at nightfall, something quite irrelevant suddenly forces its way to the surface.
Es war die höchste Zeit, sich zu retten.
A sentence of German keeps repeating.
Es war die höchste Zeit, sich zu retten.
It was high time to escape. Where's that from? That's my German primer about Napoleon in Moscow. Die höchste Zeit. High time. Now or never. Was it now or never for me? But to do what? Artemonov has exposed the whole left flank. Can the corps still wheel left to attack? Should I delay it? If I delay, they'll call me a coward. It's too late for today anyway. I must get to bed.
General Samsonov kneels before his portable icon.
Please, God, send my armies victory. Not to save my name, but for the sake of Russia. This battle will determine her fate. Don't let our casualties be in vain. And if it is high time, let me make the right decision.
Samsonov thinks that he will fall asleep at once.
I am so tired.
But he can't.
I've been racking my brains for days on end, and I can't bear it any longer.
He can't sleep.
It'll be light again by four. I'll say my prayers again. Our Father.
You are going.
What?
You are going.
What? Going where? Going to pull through.
You are going.
To go to sleep?
To die.
What? Going to die today. I must move. Move out. Get closer to the line. Go there myself in the saddle like a soldier. Kupchik! Kupchik!
Sir?
Wake my staff! Now!
Yes, sir.
All administrative, clerical, and auxiliary personnel will go to the rear. The operations section will ride forward with me. Any questions?
Sir, shouldn't the staff as a whole move back? If we move forward, we neglect our role. We break communications.
Thank you. We leave on horseback in 10 minutes. Disconnect the teleprinter.
Up north, in the center of the Second Army's advance, Ensign Sasha Lenatovich has come under fire at last. His platoon is digging in. He sits down to rest, bursting with a strange feeling of triumph.
I'm going to survive. I'm going to survive this war. I thought I was going to die. An hour ago, I was wishing they'd sent me to jail. All the decent revolutionaries are in jail. But now, if I can just scrape through the next few days, I might survive. all the books I've still got to read. Underground literature. All the things I must do. That nurse. The one who came out while I was arguing with the doctor. So prim. And so curvaceous. She never said a word to me. But it was like she flicked me somehow on the raw. Or Yelya in Moscow, when Yelya went boating with us and she sat at the prow, slender and silent. And then later I kissed her. Ah, Yelya. And she sent me a letter. Yelya! I want her now. Yelya! I haven't even got a photograph. Now I've got to defend our stupid motherland.
Rumors that Samsonov has sent most of his staff to the rear have reached the hospital in Neidenburg. The doctors have begun to discuss the possibility of evacuation.
Nurse Tanya?
Yes?
The volunteer nurses are being sent back, but have asked for you to stay on. We may be stuck here for a while.
Someone must stay.
Good.
Doctor, there's a colonel asking to see you.
Doctor, I am Colonel Vorotintsev. Have any patients come in from forward positions recently?
Yes.
May I question them? Are there any officers?
Nurse Tanya, isn't there a lieutenant from 13th Corps? He said he was from your hometown.
Yes, he is. Lieutenant Karitonov?
Hello, nurse.
Are you feeling better?
I think so.
There's someone to see you. Can you answer some questions?
Yes.
I'm Colonel Vorotintsev.
Sir.
At ease, please.
Sir.
You're with 13th Corps?
Yes, sir.
What was your position?
Hohenstein.
Where did you go into action?
They sent us out west. They sent us twice, recalled us, and then sent us again. They marched us out west, and then that was where they shelled us. And
when was this?
The last thing I remember was the order to fall back. That's all I can tell you.
This was to the west of Hohenstein?
Yes.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Sir, are they going to evacuate us?
Some of you, I expect.
I don't want to be left behind.
No, of course you don't.
Please, sir, will you ask them to take me?
I will. Nurse?
Yes?
I shall tell the doctor that this young man is not to be left behind. Nurse, you are from the same town?
Yes.
Then we must make sure it happens, mustn't we?
Yes.
Thank you. Good day to you both. You.
Nurse?
Yes?
What about you? Are you getting out?
No. I'm staying.
If you write a letter to your family, I'll see that it's posted. Who do you have at home?
No one. There's no one at home.
I don't believe that. There must be a young fellow.
No.
Colonel.
Doctor?
What's wrong with your shoulder?
Oh, splinter graze. Yesterday.
Does it hurt to move?
A bit.
Let's have a look. Come on.
Very well.
I'll put a dressing on this. Colonel?
Yes.
What's going to happen to the town?
13th Corps has been pushed back. And Artemonov has retreated. So there's a gap in the line. A substantial gap. But if we can organise our defences, we can still hang on a bit.
A bit?
Possibly.
I see. Thank you, Colonel.
Shall I carry your canteen and stuff, sir?
Hmm?
With your shoulder.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Arseny.
Vorotintsev does not feel his shoulder. He has become merely a mobile contrivance for saving what can still be saved. He has no desires of his own. When he thinks of the gap in the line and the draft blowing through it, his heart pounds.
Grokolet. Staff Captain Grokolet.
Colonel Vorotin, sir.
Your regiment, how is it?
We've been in the line, heavy shelling. I have four companies.
There is a gaping hole in the left flank now. No one is sending troops to fill it.
Where is Samsonov?
I don't know. I can't find him. They say he's gone to the front. We must shift for ourselves. Can your men fight?
Come and see. They're on the Uzdal road now. What's left of them?
The four surviving companies of the Estland Regiment have been under heavy fire again, and they have grown old.
Speak to them, if you like.
What shall I say?
I wouldn't bother appealing to their honour or obligations to our allies or God or the Fatherland. For most of them, that doesn't extend beyond their villages.
No, of course.
You could say our generals are all fools and cowards, and it's up to you lot now.
Yes. Men of the Estland Regiment. You've taken a beating. Many of your comrades have laid down their lives, but war is always unfair. We shouldn't be wondering about how we can get off lightly. We should be thinking about how to avoid letting our comrades down. Brothers, we shall gain nothing by trying to save ourselves. If we withdraw, the neighboring regiments will be wiped out, the Germans will catch up with us, and we shan't escape anyway. Right now, there's a gap in the line and no one else to fill it. It has to be plugged until the wounded can be got away. It must be held. There's nobody to do it but you.
If you say so, sir.
Volunteers only. Those who want to go, three steps forward.
Thank you, men of the Estland Regiment.
Now Vorotintsev has to lead the regiment into position. He finds a Cossack escort and horses for himself and Arseny. Arseny prefers to ride bareback and has thrown away his saddle. When Vorotintsev reproaches him for this, Arseny finds a feather pillow and ties it to the horse's back by means of ropes round its belly.
You're a disgrace.
Sir,
I thought you said you could ride. Everyone rides bareback where I come from.
A saddle is a gentleman's toy.
Our escort are laughing at you.
I could ride all the way to Turkey like this. To Turkey!
Where is everyone? And where are the Germans?
It is like the eye of a cyclone. All around, howling, whirling violence. But in this stretch of country, silence and emptiness. Vorotintsev has found his gap in the line.
Whoa, whoa! Here. This is where the Estland Regiment must stand. Captain, we need to leave one of your men as a marker for the regiment.
Your Excellency!
I'll go on and find out how big this gap is. Let's get up that hill.
Sir.
Yeah!
What's that noise?
Not sure.
There are pines at the top of the hill. When they ride out of the trees, right in front of them, 10 paces away, is a car with four Germans sitting in it.
Whoa!
Why don't they fire?
They're waiting for the command. That man isn't giving it. Hold your fire!
Sir!
That man?
I think he's a general.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, sir.
I believe I ought to take you prisoner.
No, Excellency. It is I who ought to take you prisoner.
But you are on our land. This is Prussian soil.
But I am afraid at the moment, sir, this locality is in our hands. If I may offer you some advice, it would be better for you to withdraw.
What's your name, officer?
Colonel Vorotintsev.
I am General von Francois.
Sir! He's their corps commander.
Look, sir. Look at their radiator. They've pinched our lion from the trench.
Let's go.
They'll shoot us in the back.
No, I don't think so. Excellency, I'm afraid we must be on our way.
Of course.
Lebensiefel, Excellence!
Adieu, my good Colonel, adieu!
What are they laughing at?
They're laughing at your pillow. You've disgraced the whole Russian army.
Oh, so what?
Ensign Sasha Lenartovich has spent the day cowering in a foxhole while the Germans bombarded his position. But now the sun is going down. Night has come, and he is still alive. And rumors are spreading that a retreat has begun.
Oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going through another day like that. Oh, what can I do to help myself? Well, I could give myself up. That would be the sensible thing to do. Oh, but how? If I do surrender, how will the Germans know that I'm a socialist? Do they want socialists? They'd send me to a prisoner of war camp. But I'd be alive. Retreat. This is the moment, right now. Don't wait for an order. Retreat. Get out of here!
Lenartovich doesn't have a map. He borrows one from the staff captain on a pretext and studies it, trying to memorize it.
The road to the east, and then you cross the railway, the road to Orlau.
Have you finished with that?
Yes, sir. Thanks.
But instead of going back to his platoon, Lenartovich strides off into the night. The road is full of traffic, despite the dark, and no one tries to stop him. No questions are asked. He walks south, away from the front. He walks all night, and when the sun comes up, he is on the road to Orlau, part of a broad stream of men, horses and wagons, all moving south. The rout has begun. The road runs downhill to a mill dam, and at this point another road merges with it, and a huge bottleneck has built up, a crush of snarled carts and exhausted horses and angry men. In the field above the road, a disorderly congregation of troops has gathered.
Oh, this is no good. I must get out of this. Which way? If I head off west, I'm in the forest. Or shall I go to ground in the forest and just wait for the Germans to find me? Well, safe standing in this crowd for now. No one's going to challenge me or ask me anything.
But Sasha Lenartovich is wrong. Someone is riding slowly through the crowd, greeting the men as though inspecting them on parade.
How are you, men?
Hanging in there, General.
Were your losses heavy?
Oh, it's General Samsonov.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. At ease. Please stand at ease, men.
What a nice old boy you've become all of a sudden. You had this coming to you. That's what you all need, a good, swift punch in the face to soften you up. Just wait, there's more to come.
Now then, whom have we here? Ensign?
Me, sir?
Yes, you. Who are you? What's your regiment?
A 29th Chernigov Regiment, Your Excellency.
Chernigov?
What if he asks me what I'm doing here? Oh, I'm sunk.
The glorious Chernigov Regiment. A special thank you to the men of the Chernigov Regiment. At ease, men. Stand at ease. What's your unit, lads?
17, sir.
Were your losses heavy?
Two riders come up behind General Samsonov. One a colonel, the other a ranker with a cushion for a saddle.
General. General Samsonov.
Colonel.
Sir, did you receive my note from Neidenberg?
No.
Some formations are still resisting. The remnants of the Eslan regiment are holding on. These troops here are a rabble. They could be formed up. They could try to break out.
Who are you?
Colonel Vorotintsev. Don't you know me, sir?
What's your unit? Thank you, Colonel. Thank you for doing your duty. Goodbye, Colonel. Goodbye.
The Esland regiment, sent back into the fray by Vorotintsev, is left to hold the line while the army tries to withdraw. When they run out of cartridges, they counterattack with the bayonet. Three times, until their colonel is killed and fewer than 1 in 20 remain. No one sends word that the regiment can withdraw. It perishes. And only a handful get out alive. Just 10 soldiers carrying the body of their colonel and the regimental flag. But they have held the Germans up for one more day.
Information received shows that our troops are fighting heroically.
At the Winter Palace, a crowd of 100,000 kneels with lowered flags.
The Supreme Commander still firmly believes that God will help us to carry them out successfully.
Bulletproof vests!
The Germans suffered particularly heavy losses near Moulin.
Food prices up.
God will punish the aggressor.
Uncle cost you cigarettes. 10 for 6 kopecks.
Guitar lessons by post, free of charge.
By the evening of the 29th of August, 1914, the Second Army no longer exists. In its place is a confused and leaderless mob, streaming south, but to east and west the German forces are advancing to encircle it. Soon there will be no escape.
Grass. Beautiful, silky grass. Like the grass in our village street. When I was a child. Just the same sort of grass, is it? Touch it. Yes, it is the same. The place you grew up is always the best place on earth, isn't it? The sundial in the yard. The untended tennis court with the ridge in the middle. The lopsided carriage house. What am I doing? Lying on my side in the grass. Did I fall asleep? Yes. And now I'm waking again. I don't remember where I am. It's so quiet. Why is it so quiet? I'm in a forest glade. Pines, oaks, afternoon light. That noise. What is it?
Ah, the guns! Arseny! Arseny!
Sir?
Have we been sleeping?
Uh-huh.
How did that happen?
Well, we were tired.
God, it must be nearly evening. We lay down for 5 minutes. Where are the horses? Why didn't you wake me up?
I was asleep myself.
We should be going.
Where to?
Out of here. A map. I need a good map. Arseny. I'm sorry. I've got you into a jam. You should have stayed where you were.
Well, I might have had my head blown off by now.
We'll get out of it somehow.
Oh, we're safe in the forest, aren't we?
The Germans will be on the roads, getting round, cutting us off.
Well, so let's spend the autumn here.
What?
Make a cabin out of branches and hole up till winter.
We'd starve to death.
We could live on roots and berries. People have done it.
What people?
Hermits?
We're not hermits. We're soldiers. We'll break out. And quickly, while we still have the strength. Do you feel hungry?
I'm too hungry to feel anything. Shh.
What?
Someone's coming.
Damn.
I think it's one of ours.
I know him. Lieutenant!
Yes?
Lieutenant Harrod Tonoff. We met in the hospital in Neidenburg.
Yes, so we did.
Were you evacuated? How did you get out?
I walked.
What about your wound?
I was concussed.
We're getting out.
I have a map.
Have you?
A German one. I found it in Hohenstein.
Good lad. Let me look at that. You sit down for a bit.
All right.
Arseny, hold the corners down.
Sir.
Lieutenant,
Which way did you come?
Here. I tried the main road, but the enemy. Hmm.
Where do you think we are now?
Here?
Yes, yes. Everyone will be heading south, and the Germans moving round on the roads to scoop them up. We'll go southeast. No roads there, except where the forest comes right up to the road here. That's where we'll cross. The quicker the better. Tomorrow night. So, we've got 24 hours to reach the road. Let's go. I'll watch the compass. Arseny, you go first.
Sir.
Lieutenant.
Sir.
Throw your sword away.
What?
Your sword. Ditch it.
My sword?
It's an order. Chuck it away. I take the responsibility.
Shall I break it?
No. Just chuck it away.
Sir.
Sir, sir.
What?
Someone up ahead.
What's he doing?
Sitting on a tree trunk. He's covered in mud.
Ah, I see him. Hello?
Oh, hello.
Who are you?
Ensign Sasha Lenartovich, Chernigov Regiment.
Chernigov? Where are they now?
I've no idea.
Are you wounded?
No, but I nearly got killed.
Well, didn't we all?
I mean, I came out at a village over there, but the Germans are there. They pinned me down with a machine gun in a potato field. I thought I was a dead man. I had to crawl in the earth. I don't know how I managed to get away.
Hmm. Are you staying here or do you want to come with us?
Where are you going?
We're going to break out.
I'll come.
Good. So, forward march.
Far over to the west of the forest, while his staff argues about what to do, General Samsonov sits on a tree stump and meditates. Since he inspected the rabble of troops at Orlau, the weight has gone. The veil is rent. His mind is easier. And everything is clear.
How hard it is for the Emperor to choose himself worthy helpers. Self-seeking mediocrities are more pushy than the good and loyal. Nobody sees as many liars and deceivers as the Tsar. How can he learn to penetrate the darkness of other men's souls? So he becomes the victim of wrong choices, and these self-seekers sap the Russian state like termites. I meant well, and I have served my emperor so badly. So what will the actions of those self-seekers lead to? If we're defeated, there will be an upheaval.
Sir, the road to Yanov has been cut. Hmm? The Germans are on the road ahead of us.
Ah.
We should go southeast, make a detour through the forest, round towards Willenberg.
Yes, yes, I have no objection. You have my permission to leave. I will go forward again.
No, sir, that's impossible. Your duty is to the Army Corps. We must save Russia from invasion. We must break through. We'll walk through the forest, sir, overnight. We'll have a better chance without the horses.
As you wish. How uncongenial my staff officers are. Under my command by chance, mostly, and none of them think like me or feel like me. They just want to save themselves.
What are you doing? Why are you digging?
We don't know what may happen to us if we should fall into enemy hands. Why give them the prize of badges, documents? We are burying everything we don't need.
Sir, we must not let the enemy know who you are, sir. Your medals, sir, with your permission.
My medals?
Please.
As you wish.
Once the moon goes down, it is very dark in the forest. Walking is difficult for Samsonov. He is an old man. His legs are weak. His airways are constricted. His feet tread awkwardly.
Come along, sir.
My body is a burden. And to escape from pain, from disgrace, all I need to do is release myself from this body. It would be blissful, like taking a deep breath if my lungs were cleared again. They'd get on better without me.
Sir, give me your hand.
I'm all right. Slipping away is the only difficulty. Just wait for a dark patch, then step aside. Let them go by. Step round this thicket. They haven't missed me.
Samsonov rests against a tree trunk and listens to the forest.
I feel more at peace than I have done in a long time. So many years in the army, I always accepted the danger, the risk of death. I was ready for it, but I never knew it could be so easy as shedding a burden.
He steps out into an open space.
I know suicide is a sin, but forgive me.
He sinks to his knees on the warm pine needles. He fumbles for his wife's locket and kisses it.
Forgive me.
The sky has clouded over, and he cannot tell where the east lies. So he prays to the star.
Oh, Lord. Forgive me if you can. You see, I can do no other. Take me into your rest.
Vorotintsev and his little band find a forester's hut for the night. There is a well for water, some knives and axes, and plenty of dried meat, enough to eat and carry away. While the others sleep on the floor, Vorotintsev keeps watch. He has to make an effort, not to keep awake, but to control his impatience. His escape plan, his hopes and calculations have bored so deeply into him that he cannot sleep now until it is all over.
And what shall I say if we do get away and I make it back to Supreme HQ? What shall I say to them? What effect will it have?
At last the sky turns grey.
Come on, up!
Yaroslav wakes easily.
Time to go.
Sasha jumps as if he has been struck.
Come on, Arseny, wake up!
Arseny has to be shaken. They set off again in single file, carrying the meat. The light grows, and then they see people walking ahead of them.
Germans! There I was.
They're carrying something.
Might as well catch them up.
Between them, eight men are carrying two stretchers. They put them down and wait. On one of the stretchers is a dead man with colonel's epaulets. On the other is a wounded officer.
Captain Afrosimov, Estland Regiment.
Colonel Vorotintsev.
Sir.
Which way have you come?
South, from Darenthub, sir. Across the railway line, and then into the forest.
When did your men last eat? Are they hungry?
Yes.
Arseny.
Sir.
Share the meat out. Get under the trees. No point staying out in the open.
Sir.
So, what happened to you, Captain? You had orders to withdraw?
No.
No orders?
No. They left us as rear guard. We're the only ones left. I have the regimental colours under my tunic.
They've carried you how far? 20, 25 miles?
I didn't order them. After what we went through, we all wanted to stay together. That's Colonel Kabanov. We vowed to carry him home to Russia and bury him there.
Want a bite?
Had a rough time, eh?
Couldn't say that.
You sound like you're from Tambov.
Yeah.
Which canton?
Kamenka.
Who's your father?
Blagodarev.
Not Yelisei Nikivorovich.
Yes, I was youngest. Arseny.
Well, well.
Where are you from?
Tugaluki.
Tugaluki.
Always get good horse there.
My name is Lunsov.
I don't know everybody there. It's all right.
Men, if you want, you can come with us. We shall have to get out at night, and it'll have to be tonight. We need to cross the high road. That's going to be tricky. And once across, we shall have to run for it.
Sasha Lenardovich watches this exchange with increasing alarm.
I thought this colonel was quite clever. Has he gone mad? How can we run for it carrying a lieutenant on a stretcher and lug a corpse around? We'll be shot, the whole lot of us.
Of course, the problem is the lieutenant can't tell them to ditch the colonel while they're still carrying him around. If he undermines their old-fashioned ideals, they'll leave him too.
Your Honour.
Yes.
How many verts is it to Russia?
Plenty.
Oh, the idiots. Do they think the Germans can't get at their precious Russia? They should think about machine guns, not versts. If Orotintsev gives in to them, I'm off.
Right, let's move. Oh, Ensign Lenartovich.
Sir,
you and I will relieve two of the dead men's stretcher bearers.
This is nonsense. Oh, but they're all watching. What can I do?
Yes, sir.
We'll take the front.
Yes, sir.
One, two...
Colonel.
Yes?
Why do we have to carry a dead man? It's absurd. This is modern warfare. There's no room for this sort of thing.
Yes? Modern warfare is waiting for us on the high road. You might think about getting hold of a rifle.
That captain is a reactionary. I know the type. You can't order me to carry him.
I can, though. Political differences are just ripples on the pond. Oh,
what about national differences, then? Aren't they just ripples on the pond? Or why are we fighting? Or what sort of differences do you consider important?
The difference between decency and indecency.
Keep it higher, sir!
All right!
Sasha Lenardovich sets his teeth and forces himself to do his share. The path rises steadily and leads them gently to the top of a hill.
Halt! Lower the stretchers.
They're on an exposed ridge in the depths of the forest. Around them, the ground falls away. The trees are more widely spaced here, and sunlight falls through the canopy.
Men, we shall bury Colonel Kabanov here. We shan't find a better place. It has to be done, otherwise we shan't get out of this.
Exactly right, you know.
Yes, sir.
God will forgive us. Arseny, where's your spade?
Sir.
Get digging.
Sir.
We'll dig. He's our colonel.
Yes, our colonel.
Right.
The forest is so big and so dense that the wall has not reached its depth. Not a shell hole, not a wheel track. The morning is peaceful. They dig deep, as if there is no encirclement threatening them.
Arseny.
Sir,
do you know any prayers?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm church deacon at home.
Are you?
Yes, sir. What was the name of the departed?
His name was Vladimir.
Thank you, sir.
Let us pray unto the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for God's servant Vladimir, for his repose, for his peace, for his blessed memory.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray unto the Lord for those who are called to stand before the dread throne of his glory.
Lord, have mercy.
Praying that he and all of us may obtain God's mercy, the kingdom of heaven, and the remission of all our sins. Let us dedicate one another and our lives wholly unto Christ. Amen.
At dawn, all that is left of 13th Corps has reached the southern edge of the forest. This is the only group which has not lost coherence, which is still fighting. But there is no official command. Staff Captain Grochelitz is in front, and he leads the attempted counterattack to break out. All through the morning, a mixed bunch of survivors, supported by two depleted batteries, charge and take one German position after another. But the road to safety is a long one. Ammunition is nearly gone, and men are losing hope. Grochelitz sits on a tree stump thinking. He already has two bayonet wounds.
Captain!
Sir!
Right. Shall we give it a try?
Now or nothing, sir.
Collect all those who can hold a rifle. Give the orders to the machine gunners.
Let's do it. We can manage.
One last push.
Sir.
Stand it better.
Sir.
You'd better remove the colours.
Sir.
Bury them.
Sir.
Grochelitz has blood on his face, his neck, his tunic. He speaks to no one, and no one comes near him. These few moments of reflection will be his last.
Right.
He waves his cap to the gunners.
Get a good grip, lads! Let him roll! Everything you've got!
The Russian troops are charging out of the fringes of the forest. The officers hold their dress swords high in a desperate gesture.
Keep up! We're all in this together!
Men are falling to machine gun fire. The officers' swords tremble and waver. Men are dropping their rifles and falling. Grochelitz is out in front, running.
With me! With me! Back me up!
He stumbles, falls, and a sturdy German leaps out of a foxhole and plunges his bayonet into Grochelitz once, twice, three times. As he marches, Vorotintsev continually checks the map, the terrain, and his little command.
How are 14 men carrying a wounded officer going to get out of this?
But his military thoughts take up only half his mind.
The Estland Regiment. I sent them to die. And I can't forgive myself. But it get worse, this feeling, this remorse. I didn't lie to them. They knew what they were in for. But it was all for nothing.
It is as though there are two corridors in his head running side by side, with a glass wall in between.
Alina. My poor Alina, a widow, weeping, having to start afresh. She loved parties. She loved going out and having fun. But she used to stay in for me, look after me while I was studying. What have I brought her? Unhappiness.
By afternoon, they have reached the edge of the forest. They can hear the road only a mile away.
We'll rest here until it gets dark.
What if the Germans are sending out patrols?
They won't have the men to spare for that. They can't search the whole forest, but we'll post lookouts. Mm. You can take first watch. Everyone else, just lie quiet.
He lies down. Yaroslav lies near him.
Oh, it's hot.
I lay out all day like this at Liaoyuan. It was hotter than this. And the Japanese were shelling us. And the storm blew up. And you couldn't tell what was bursting shells and what was thunder.
Colonel.
Lieutenant Haratanov.
I think their officer's in pain. He has a fever.
Yes.
Colonel. Do we have a chance?
Oh, I'm getting out. I know I am.
How do you know?
Because in Manchuria, an old Chinese told my fortune.
Well, what did he say?
He said I should live to the age of 69 and then die a soldier's death. Not bad, eh?
69? What year will that be?
1945.
God. That sounds like something out of H.G. Wells.
As the light begins to fade, Vorotintsev gathers the group to explain his plan. He also makes sure they are close enough to Captain Ofrosimov on his stretcher. Only the captain can say something to make things easier. And Vorotintsev wants to give him the opportunity.
Arseny and Luntzov will go forward with knives. They go quiet. If they run up against a sentry, they kill him without making any noise.
Yes, Colonel.
Are you sure?
We want to get home.
Then one of you comes back and guides the rest forward. The best shots have the rifles, all right?
Yes, sir.
When the rifles reach the road, they cover everyone else. Then we cross.
Permission to speak, Colonel.
Captain Ofrosimov.
Please, do not think you have to carry me whatever happens. If there are circumstances, you could just leave me somewhere with plenty of cartridges.
Thank you, Captain.
I should hand the flag over.
Yes. Haritonov, you take the flag.
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Yes.
Would you mind telling me, Colonel?
Yes, Ensign.
What happens if it is simply impossible to cross the road?
No such thing as impossible in the army. They aren't standing elbow to elbow. They'll be strung out in a thin line. They're probably more frightened than we are. They don't know where and when we're going to emerge. A fox could dart across, right? Yes, and but that's what we'll do. You need a weapon, Ensign.
I don't have anything.
I've got an axe. You can have it.
Are you serious?
Yes. I found it in the hut. It's good and sharp.
Take it.
Right.
The sun is sinking. The horizontal light shines through the plantation in which they are hiding. Sasha Lenartovich lies with his head in his hands, waiting for night to come, staring at the weapon he's been given.
Is this the last sunset I will see? Will I live till morning? Or will I be in the next world, my dead body sprawling on the sand? Or being marched to a prison camp? Or scribbling on a bit of paper, "Dear all, I survived. Give Yelia a kiss from me." This axe is quite small, really. But it's sharp. Could I really chop someone with it? Oh, it's obscene. But what's the difference? A bullet is just as bad. People were trying to kill me all day yesterday. They nearly did. Now the Germans are going up and down that road. There must be social democrats among them. Men I would be happy to shake by the hand. Brothers. But if those two peasants have to knife a couple of Germans, or if that young ensign put bullets in them, I shan't mind. But to have to do it myself, with an axe, oh, I don't like it.
Right, everyone. Dark enough. Time to move.
Oh, God. If I have to, I'll do it. I will kill.
The knifemen go forward.
Sir.
We'll move a bit nearer.
You can leave me here.
No point doing that yet, Captain. Let's carry the captain a little bit further.
Oh, what's happening to the two with the knives? Why haven't we heard from them? Wasn't one of them supposed to come back?
Quiet.
Be quiet.
Die Scheiß Russen natürlich! Gefallen!
is it? What's that light?
Searchlight.
Oh, they'll find us. It's a trap.
No.
They're just shining along the road, lighting it up. They're so close, we'll never get across.
On the contrary, it's a good thing they're close. It's an easy target.
Rifleman, shoot at the light. When you get it, then we go.
Well done.
Your Honor, sir.
Arseny.
Clear right ahead.
Let's go.
Which captain?
Yeah.
Leave the bloody stretcher. I'll carry him on my back. Come on.
No. Let's go.
Let's go.
A horse. A Russian peasant's horse.
What have I come to?
A defenseless creature.
So many deaths I have seen.
Exhausted. Unfed. Broken free of its traces. Wandering hopelessly.
Beasts like me. All four legs in the air. Swollen bellies. How much bigger a horse becomes when it dies. Man becomes smaller.
A wagon on its back holds up its shafts in horror. A frenzied cart rears up on its hind wheels.
Belts, boots, swords, kit bags. Corpses of those two-legged creatures who harness us, drive us, flog us. Oh, water. I want water.
Horses roam the field in dozens, hundreds, lost, exhausted. Dead teams lie tangled, caught in bombardment by a battery which fought to the last man. Shattered guns, dead gunners all around. Dead Germans, too, lying in heaps in front of the battery. Flies, gadflies, gnats, carrion birds. More and more birds circle. High, high, higher.
Oh, we'll never get out of this.
We'll be back in Russia soon. We'll see. Here's the colonel.
The men up ahead. They're ours.
Are they trying to escape?
No.
Are they giving up?
No. They're not Second Army. There's more behind them.
More behind them?
They aren't surrounded.
No. You can put the captain down.
Then neither are we.
No. Neither are we.
Then we've done it.
Yes. We've done it. Arseny, you can put the captain down.
Oh, I could sleep for a week.
Now you can. We all can.
At GHQ, far south of the Prussian border, Supreme Commander Grand Duke Nikolai longs desperately for rapid and decisive victories because of his martial character and his hatred of German militarism and his special obligations to friendly France. The expected victories, however, have not come.
General Samsonov has suspended communications and Colonel Vorotintsev has not returned. Why on earth not? Something is wrong. But what? How bad is it? How will the Tsar react when he hears? If it's bad news, the Empress, the whole Rasputin clique, will use it to dislodge me. They'll persuade him that it's all my fault.
In spite of his forebodings, the Grand Duke keeps to his routine.
It's time for my walk.
Yes, Your Highness.
You collect cigar bands, don't you?
Yes, Your Highness.
I believe I have a new one for you.
Thank you, Your Highness.
As he emerges into the open air, Grand Duke Nikolai sees someone striding quickly towards him.
Colonel?
Colonel Vorotintsev, am I dreaming?
Your Imperial Highness.
The man I most want to see.
Sir.
You're back. Why didn't someone tell me?
I only got here 10 minutes ago.
Are you wounded?
Oh, nothing serious.
So, how are things? Come now.
The Second Army is lost. They were encircled by von Francois. 70,000 lost. Killed or captured. And all the artillery.
All those brave men.
Yes, sir. I think between 10 and 15,000 have escaped, sir.
We must submit to the will of God. He that endures to the end shall be saved. I must inform the Emperor.
I could explain, sir, in more detail.
Yes. Yes, of course. We shall examine the situation in the operations room. General Zhilinsky will be with us soon. You shall make a full report to us then.
At GHQ, the only man Vorotintsev can confide in is Colonel Svechin.
Oh, to say what I think just once in my life.
You can never say what you think. Even Zhilinsky isn't entirely to blame. The whole operation was carried out on orders from the top. All the rush and the miscalculations, it's because the orders came from the Grand Duke.
But how can we lay down our people's lives so rashly? I know the Grand Duke was pushing them, but Zhilinsky made the concrete mistakes. He'd lay down anybody's life for his own. Oh, I want to destroy that way of thinking.
The Grand Duke gave the order to cross the frontier on August the 14th. Zhilinsky asked for a postponement. The Duke insisted.
Zhilinsky should have had the courage to refuse.
That's asking a lot.
How can we go to war with generals like these?
Unmasking them won't help. Have you ever seen any high up in this country change his mind because of a heated speech from someone lower down? You can never get through. It can't be done. It's like a pool of tar. You can't even make the ripples spread.
I have to speak up. It's the chance of a lifetime. When I was escaping, I swore that if I came through alive...
You'll destroy yourself.
They can only banish me as far as a regiment. I wasn't a bad regimental commander.
They'll be sending you idiotic orders, and you'll have to carry them out and make your soldiers pay the price. Mm. So you'll be writing a telegram to me, begging me to get you out of it, eh? If I amend just 2 stupid orders a day, save a battalion from getting killed unnecessarily, that's a day not wasted. And if you're with me amending 2 more...
If you'd been there, you wouldn't be so reasonable now.
Why did you go to the front anyway?
I had to find out. I had to try.
If they kick you out, you'll never get back in here.
If it was just a military matter, I'd take your advice. But it's more than that. The way they feel about things. He that endures shall be saved. That's what the Grand Duke said to me. They are willing to endure our sufferings. How many defeats would they accept? How many catastrophes like this will they cause, confident that in the end the good Lord will come to the rescue?
There's nothing you can do about it. You'll come a cropper, and things will just stay as they are. Keep quiet and get on with your job.
If you have an arrow in your chest, can you help trying to pull it out?
No.
I don't care. I'm going to let them have it.
In the operations room, 20 staff officers have gathered, and at the head of the table sits the Grand Duke Nikolai. General Zhilinsky, Commander-in-Chief Northwestern Front, speaks first.
The deplorable failure of Second Army is entirely the fault of the late General Samsonov. His gross errors were aggravated by his ill-considered order to cut off telegraphic communication. Now, I remind you all not to lose sight of our country's international commitments. The French government takes the view that the East Prussian offensive was not an adequate effort. They remind us of our promise to launch an all-out attack. Troops are being transferred from the Caucasus. I ask, therefore, for a repetition of the offensive around the Masurian Lakes into East Prussia.
What? In a moment, Colonel.
It is morally imperative that we open an immediate second offensive. Our hearts ache for Russia's losses, but it is important not to let our allies down.
No! I shall now ask Colonel Voritintsev to give us his personal impressions. He has been with the Second Army.
Gentlemen. No one from the Second Army has been invited to this conference. There is hardly anyone left to invite. But I was with them. And perhaps I might be permitted to say what I think those now dead or in captivity might have said. I am not going to talk about the valour of our soldiers. That is not in question. Except where the German artillery had an overwhelming advantage, and sometimes even then, in tactical engagements, our units came out on top and held their positions under the heaviest fire. In spite of all this, the battle ended in crushing defeat. And the blame rests entirely on General Samsonov. How convenient. The dead cannot answer back. But if we act on that assumption, the same thing will happen again and again, and we will lose the war.
Gentlemen, please. Gentlemen.
General Samsonov has been accused of irresolution, but the Army Group Command was guilty of the worst kind of indecision. Strategic mistakes have to be laid at their door.
Your Highness, I must ask you to put a stop to this nonsense.
If the Colonel gets something wrong, you may correct him. Please go on, Colonel.
Thank you, Your Highness. What was the Second Army's strength squandered on? On subduing a deserted and pathless tract of territory. Before they made contact with the enemy, our troops floundered in 80 miles of sand for 5 or 6 days.
We could hardly...
But the main reason for the destruction of Samsonov's force is that neither it nor the Russian army as a whole was ready to take the offensive. We made a fatal decision just to please the French. Only a fool could have promised to lead us into battle in such a state.
Your Highness, this is an insult to the Emperor, the promise he made.
Russia promised to give aid, not to commit suicide.
The decision had the Emperor's approval.
Colonel, you have gone too far.
There is no room for officers like you in the Russian army.
Yes, I am an officer in the Imperial Russian army, like you, General. We all share responsibility for our country's history.
That's enough.
But I saw the last survivors of the Esslin Regiment. I saw them carrying their dead colonel on their shoulders, and you did not.
Enough!
It is my duty to tell you that we cannot lose one campaign after another, throwing away lives.
Colonel, leave the conference room.
Sir.
Arseny.
Colonel.
Still a colonel, for now. I've got you a posting.
Sir?
To the artillery. That's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Every inch a grenadier. You're going to the Grenadier Artillery Brigade. It's all arranged.
Well, that's all right, then. I mean, thank you, sir. What will you do, sir?
I'll be sent to the front. They might give me a regiment, I suppose. Would you like to be in it?
Infantry.
Oh, yes. Infantry.
Thanks all the same. I mean, whatever you say, sir.
It's up to you, Arseny. I shan't be giving you any more orders. Not after what we've been through.
All right.
I'm sorry.
What for?
For taking you away from your regiment. For dragging you into the trap.
We got out, didn't we?
Yes.
Well then.
We may see each other sometime.
Mountains don't meet, but men do.
Be a good soldier. you may be a colonel yourself one day.
Get home in one piece.
The same to you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Your Honor.
Lenin and his family have reached the main station in Krakow. They wait for their luggage on a footbridge. This is German territory. Lenin sees a slogan on a hoarding.
Jedem Rus, ein Schuss. A bullet for every Russian.
He buys a German newspaper.
Reports on the battle in East Prussia. Battles in France. Germany conquers. What power. What weapons, what resolution striking through Belgium. The Germans will win this war. So Germany is our best, our natural ally against the Tsar. The Germans will thrash the imperial spirit out of Russia. We must find channels for negotiation with them.
A train has pulled in, a hospital train. Grim-looking orderlies pass stretchers out. The crowd presses forward, craning to see grey faces swathed in bandages. Up on the footbridge, Lenin looks down, drinking in every detail of the scene.
The smell of the blood and the disinfectant and the printer's ink on this newspaper.
A joyful inspiration is taking shape in his mind. One of the most powerful, swiftest, and surest decisions of his life.
Like a soaring eagle, following the movements of a little golden lizard, you have eyes only for the truth that matters. And then, like an eagle, you swoop down and seize it, and drag, and drag, and rise into the air, and it unfurls like a ribbon, like a streamer with a slogan, and the slogan is, seize the moment, transform this war into a civil war, seize the racing engine wheel in your bare hands!
Truth did not start with us and will not end with us.
In August 1914, by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Vorotintsev was played by Alex Waldman, Samsonov by Michael Burtonshaw, and Arseny by Sean Pritchard. Lenin was Clive Hayward, Sasha Lenartovich, Mark Edel Hunt, Kharitonov, Will Howard, and Grocholets, Robert Pugh. Filimonov and the Grand Duke were played by Sam Dale, Krimov and Jelinsky, Simon Armstrong, Afrosimov, Matthew Watson, Artemonov, David Kahn, Tanya Malangach-Dolmer, Kramchatkin, Chris Gordon, Luntzoff, Sean Ivan, and Agafon, Alex Hope. The narrator was Fiona Shaw. August 1914 was dramatised by Robin Brooks and was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Alison Hendel.
August 1914 was dramatised from the translation by H.T. Willits. Next week's drama is a groundbreaking play set in 1950s Chicago. It follows the dreams and conflicts of three generations of an Afro-American working-class family, and it was the first play written by a black woman to be produced on Broadway. A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry begins at 9 o'clock next Sunday. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. We'll be enjoying some early music late in a few minutes' time. But till then, I thought I'd stay with the First World War, but this time from the perspective of a French composer who was desperate to support his country. In fact, Ravel was too old and too unfit to be a regular soldier. Instead, he drove lorries for the army, but at the same time, he put his musical stamp on the conflict as well. Each movement of his suite, Le Tombeau de Couperin, commemorated a friend who died in the fighting.